12 through 13, if we did everything in this verse, how remarkably different would our life look? Would we look like today? How would our life look if we did everything in this scripture? How would we look if we did everything in the scripture? And how would our productivity in getting those souls, winning those souls for Christ, how would that look? You know, and the works that we should be doing, how would that look if we did Deuteronomy, if we just did Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13? You know, we wouldn't be calling a coup attempt and an insurrection of our democracy and our state capital. We wouldn't be calling that not punishable. It's not a punishable offense. It's a witch hunt against the president. We wouldn't be saying stupid stuff like that. We would call wrong, wrong, and right, right. We would love and not hate. We would see everything through the lens of the truth of the Bible. And this is what we're going to have to make sure that we do. And there's so much more that we need to be doing, saints of God. There's so much more. Our lives would be should be filled with casting out demons and devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the brokenhearted, you know, unstopping the deaf ears and opening blinded eyes. We should be doing all these works of the Spirit. Our lives would be filled with the Spirit of God. We'd be filled with the Spirit. We would be flowing in the Spirit, so much so that we would be like Peter, that our very shadow would be healing folks of their sicknesses and the diseases, you know, be setting the captives free. The people wouldn't be crippled, you know. Their limbs would straighten out. The legs, if they were crippled, would straighten out. The arms would straighten out if we were flowing in the Spirit and doing the things like God told us to do, according to His Word. It's very powerful when we do it according to His Word and when we live according to His Word.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual One Man Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 20. I just want to lift out the 20th verse. Numbers chapter 23, verse 20. And it says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. God said it, and that settles it. Help me if you don't mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
God said it, and that settles it.
I'm blessed.
Come on, give him some praise if you are. What a fascinating story contained in this story, this chapter that reveals a plot and a plan for the enemy of God's people to have God to reverse a decision God made all by himself. It is an interesting story. It's helpful to us to understand how God operates. And one of the things I want to throw out parenthetically is that I'm glad God doesn't take recommendations from my enemies. I'm glad he doesn't listen to my enemies because they don't like what they see, or that they're not in my position, or that they don't have my blessings, and that God himself changes his mind because they've got issues with my blessings. Do you not know, do you not understand that there are some things that I hope you'll pick up from the story when you get some time at home in your devotional time to go over it and read it? You'll discover that Balak, the king of Moab, wants Israel, the people of God, who are pronounced by God to be blessed, to all of a sudden now be cursed. He seeks out the prophet Balaam, offers him a hefty payment to curse what God has blessed. And unbeknowings, as the old folks say, to Balaam, that you can't bless what God has cursed. Neither can you curse what God has blessed. I don't care how much folk try to pay you to do it. He discovers that Moab's king has a problem with the people of God. He's looking at their blessings, how they're flourishing, at their numbers, and he is distressed and disturbed about the issue and wants to bring a curse upon them so that he, of course, could reign over, so they not enjoy the promised land, the blessings God offered unto their forefathers, and everything that God had set in place that he's bringing into fruition and that they are enjoying. And just because the enemy is mad does not make God any matter or difference. And so Balaam is summoned to curse Israel. So Balaam says, I tell you what, let's build 7 altars and put a ram and a bullock on each one of the 7 altars. And he takes him up in the high mountain, and he says, what you do is you wait here and let me go talk with God. And whatever God tells me, I'll come back and tell it to you. Balaam went, and he talked with God. After they had offered up these sacrifices to God, Balaam comes back and tells Balak, I'm sorry. He literally starts talking about Israel, gets so caught up in what God has said that Balak recognizes, wait a minute, I asked you to curse them. and you've come back here instead of cursing them, blessing them. You've turned bad into worse. He kept on trying to persuade Balaam to do something Balaam did not have power to do. He entreated him again, and Balaam, he takes him now to another place and shows him a part of the Israelites, a smaller group, and he says, well, maybe you can curse them. Balaam said, tell you what I do. I need you to build 7 more altars. Put 7 more rams and bullocks on these altars, and we'll call up on God. And I'm going to go and talk to God, and you wait right here by the burnt offerings. And when I come back, I'll tell you what he said. And my brothers and sisters, it's interesting that the second time he comes back is no better than the first time. Here, this time, he comes back with a report that says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Listen at this. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now it turns the whole situation around. And here's what I want you to understand. Though historically this issue is about the enemy of Israel trying to get God to curse what he has blessed, but what we forget is the word of God. God is faithful to his own word. And what we understand about this word helps us to deal with our situations, our circumstances, our setbacks, our enemies, our challenges, everything that comes against us in today's time. Historically, it's talking about Israel and their enemies. But pragmatically, it's talking about us and our issues, our enemies, etc. The difference is that the roles or the people may change, but God remains the same. His word remains the same. His rule remains the same. His ways remain the same. He doesn't change anything because he's God all by himself. Now let's look at this right quick in verse 19 again. God is not a man that he should lie. First thing you need to know is that God is not carnal like man. He's not human like man. He doesn't have man's tendencies, man's natural nature. He doesn't have man's finite being. He's not like man. Matter of fact, John 4:24, Jesus says, God is a spirit. So he's not a man, he's a spirit. Now listen at this. It says that he should lie. Now what this tells me is, if you're a man, you have, you are, or you will lie. One way or the other, you're gonna lie. It might be a little bitty white lie, might be a great big old black lie, might be a lie for no reason at all. We're gonna lie. It's in our nature, the natural nature of man, to do something. Listen, not in God's nature to lie. God cannot lie. He's so awesome and powerful that whatever he says come to pass. So even if he told a lie, the lie would become the truth. That's just how awesome he is. So he cannot lie because he's not man. Neither is he the son of man. He's not a child that he should repent. Listen to this. He does not change his mind because, like a child, he made a decision before getting all the information, jumped to the decision without considering all of the necessary information before knowing all of the ends to the puzzle without understanding everything that would be. He's not like, he didn't make a quick decision without understanding it from beginning to end, from eternity to eternity. So if he knows everything there is to know about what he has said, why then should he have to change his mind when he knew everything that would happen before it happened? And in Malachi it says, he is the Lord, he change not. He does not repent, as in taking back blessings that he promised. This repent doesn't have to do with sin or with bad things being done, or things of the repentance in the nature that we generally think of repentance. This repentance means literally to change his mind. And to change his mind, listen, about blessings. Genesis 12, he told Abram, listen, I'm going to bless you. But I'm also bless them that bless you. And I'm going to curse them that curse you. Listen, God is not going to let your enemy change his mind about your blessings. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. But not only that, God is not going to let Satan change his mind about the blessings. Look at the story in Job, how Satan tried to get Job, God to change his mind about Job. God wouldn't change his mind. He told Satan he would allow him to do some things, but he would not change his mind. And then when he allowed Satan to do those things, he put limitations on Satan so that Satan couldn't go beyond what God had told him he could do. But again, he would not let Satan change his mind. Now listen at this, because what is my point about this being pragmatic to us today, helpful to us today? What is the blessing and benefit in this for me listening at this now, today? Help me, preacher. Well, let me help you. Whatever God has said, he binds himself to it. He honors what he says. Listen, 100% of the time. In other words, God has never said anything as it relates to blessing you, whether that's healing you, whether that's delivering you, whether that's blessing you, whether that, whatever it is that God has done in the way of being a blessing to your life, God has never repented of doing that. Here's what you need to know. He knew everything you did before he blessed you. And he knew everything you would do after he blessed you. And he still blessed you. So what does he have to repent for when he knew everything before he even did anything? Look at what the word said. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Listen. Hath he said? First thing I need you to know about that word is it's in the past tense. Had he said. Not is he saying. Now let me make it plain and break it down so you can understand. Everything God has said, he's already said. You get your Bible, you get your word, you'll see that what he has said is already recorded. All right? Listen, God may be doing new things, but he ain't saying new things. Lord, y'all to catch that. Listen,
Everything that's in the Bible is in the Bible, but everything that's to come out has not come out. But what you've got to understand is he has already said everything that means anything about anything. And so any promise of God, any purpose of God, anything that God has destined for my life, he's already put it in the book. And that's why if I want to be able to hold God to what he said, I've got to find it in the book. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, what God has already said. So when I begin to build my most holy faith, it's going to be based on what he said. Listen, what he said is connected with purpose. Purpose. Hath he, listen, said, and shall he not do it? Now, that purpose is connected with performance, because he's going to do it. But it's going to be providential. See, providentially, he's going to do it when he gets ready. And shall he not do it? What is he going to do? What he said? Now, the purpose of what he said is so we will understand what he's doing. And when he's doing what he said, we can back it up in the book.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, this is one of the reasons why we can tell if things are on track, being done right, done decently and in order, because God has set a structure in place and his word gives us insight, information, inspiration, and we can tell whether or not it's of God or not of God based on the word of God. And so when people are operating according to the word of God, then we know that that's of God. But when it's outside of his word, then it's outside of his will. If it's outside of his will, it's outside of his way. And when it's outside of his way, God ain't got nothing to do with that. I know the purpose of God for my life because of his word. And so when I know the purpose of my life because of what he has placed in his word, and it tells me how to go in and come out and how to receive instructions and directions and all of these things, it's because he has already said it for that purpose, for my learning. Listen. Or hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Now, spoken has to do with promises. And the end of that verse makes clear that God makes good on his promises. God is not in the habit of making you a promise and turning back on it.
Thank you, Lord.
So if he says, I'm here, I'm here. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. Because the record says, listen, and shall he not make it good? See, what you don't understand is when he spoke it in the spirit realm. And I'm in the natural realm. And the process between the spirit realm and the natural realm is, and shall he not make it good? Which means he's working all things together. For my good. And some things take a little longer than other things. And some things have got to be put in place before other things can fall in place. And there's some things he's got to get straight in order for it to be straight. And so sometimes it takes a little longer than at other times, but the end result is I'm healed. He already spoke it. That's a promise. I'm just waiting on the manifestation of it. And shall he not make it good? He say, I'm delivered, I'm delivered. If he says whatever he has promised, it is so regardless of what it looks like. And I've got the God, listen, who cannot lie to back this thing up. And if he has not come in the moment that I want him to come, I should not get discouraged, because he's going to make it good sooner or later. I need to stop whimpering and whining and holding my head down and being shame and acting like God lied to me, God let me down because it didn't happen today. Well, listen, it didn't go wrong in one day. And though he can fix it in a moment, in a twinkling, faster than fast, quicker than right now, sooner than immediately, if he chooses to take his time, who am I to doubt him? So if his word says I'm healed, I'm healed. If his word says I'm free, I'm free. Sitting in the jail, locked with doors and guards, if he says I'm free, I'm free. Whatever he promised me. But listen to this. He's got to say it. It's got to be spoken by God. It's got to be a part of his word. It's got to be a promise he's made to me.
That's right.
So I can go back in the word and say, God, you
said.
You spoke it. I was about to give up. Throw in the white towel. Wave the white flag. Say, I give up. I can't take it no more. But you said, I'm more than a conqueror. You said that Jesus overcame the world, and because he did, I can also. You said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You said, if you be for me, who can be against? You said, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. You say. Have I got a witness in the house? You are my shepherd. I shall not walk. You say. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And so I encourage myself in the word that cannot be changed, because the God who said it does not change. And he does not lie. God said it. That settles it. That ought to be my attitude about everything he said in his word. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what I'm going through. God said it. And that settles it. Do you know, man, that confuses the devil. Wait, is this person crazy? But Jesus said in the 4th chapter, 18th verse of Luke, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And all of these wonderful things he came to do was for me. And he has not changed his mind.
Thank you, Lord.
So the question becomes, whose report? Yeah, the exam said that this was this. But what do you say? I'm here? Yeah. The exam revealed that this was this. But what do you say? I am here. I don't care what you put in that place or what the exam says, and I'm not saying that it ain't a fact, but how many of you know faith can change facts?